Cosgrove Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Man of War Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
I hope you'll give me a hearing this morning and listen to carefully what is said. I believe this to be a very important message. I've entitled this message, What is the Simplicity That Is in Christ Jesus? My text is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Paul says to the church at Corinth, But I fear. This was a very real fear of the apostle. I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, his deception, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. This was Paul's great fear for the church at Corinth, that their minds would be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. And that word simplicity is the singleness, the onlyness that is in Christ Jesus. I don't know of anything much more complicated than religion. You have the seven great religions of the world: Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Hindu, Buddhist, Confucianism, Taoism, and you have hundreds of branches in those religions. Within Christianity, you have East and West, Protestant and Catholic. How can you know what's right? In all these different religions, are they all different ways to God? How can you know? It's so confusing. Oh, the confusion that's within religion. How many religious denominations are there? I don't know, but there are a lot. Methodists, Baptists, Presbyterians, Christian, Church of Christ, on and on. Catholicism, you have charismatic and non-charismatic. I think within the Baptist denomination that I grew up in, how many different kinds of Baptists are there? There are hundreds. There are Reformed Baptists, Free Will Baptists, Southern Baptists, American Baptists, Northern Baptists, Fundamentalists, Missionary Baptists, United Baptists. I mean, we could go on and on and on. Landmark Baptists. You know, Paul asked this question in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Is Christ divided? Are there different denominations and divisions within the body of Christ? No. Christ is not divided. You know, even under the banner of Reformed or Sovereign Grace, there's so many different kinds. And churches even advertise different ways of worship. We have traditional worship. We have contemporary worship. Take your pick. What one suits you best. Sometimes churches will have both. They'll have a contemporary service and a traditional service. We have high church. We have low church. We have formal. We have informal. We have liturgical. We have preachers and reverends and right reverends. We have clergymen and men of the cloth. We have bishops and cardinals and popes and priests and parsons and pastors. Religious words are used. We call a bench a pew. We call an auditorium a sanctuary. We call a bowl of water a font. It's so confusing. All these different words regarding religion. We have cathedrals. We have steeples. We have spires. Where is the simplicity that is in Christ? Now, you can see how confusing religion is. And what about the hodgepodge of doctrines that are taught? While contradicting each other, they all claim to be true. And it's in reality a variation of the same thing, a mixture of grace and works. Now, it's one or the other. It can't be both, but religious claims it to both to be true. And it's so contradictory and complex and compound. Where is the simplicity that's in Christ? With regard to baptism, we have different modes. Some people sprinkle. Some people sprinkle infants. Some people baptize by immersion. Some only baptize believers. Different views. Take your pick. Look at the emphasis in religion on political activism. And one's active towards social and just causes. Somebody else is just into growing and big and how many. Generally, the first question somebody asks you about church is not, what do you believe there? But how many go there? How many go there? Records and numbers and so on. You know, it seems to me if the Lord is present, we wouldn't even care about numbers, would we? Oh, the confusion that abounds in religion. Where is the simplicity that's in Christ? Regarding the question, how does God save sinners? How is a man made right and just before God? How can God be just and yet justify somebody who is sinful and unjust? Regarding that question, how many different answers will you get? How many different answers will you get to what salvation by grace really means? It only means one thing, but there are 1,000 different answers that religion gives. What did Christ actually accomplish on the cross? People have different views of that. Religion never gives a single answer. It always gives a complex answer. Compound answer. Even reform doctrine. People talk about reform doctrine, and my thought is reform from what? If you're reformed, that means you started bad. Where are you now? Oh, the confusion abounding in the doctrine of man's religion. Now, Paul feared for the church at Corinth corruption from the simplicity. The singleness, the onlyness that is in Christ Jesus. Do you know God is simple? Somebody says, how could you say that? I didn't say God was shallow, not by any means. But God is simple. He's not made of parts, the sum of which makes the whole. God is one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. He's one God revealed in 3 distinct persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Do I understand that? No, I don't understand it. But I believe it. This is the truth regarding the simplicity of God. Now, when Paul said, I fear that your minds will be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus, how is something corrupted? Well, if I have a glass of pure water, pure water, nothing but pure H2O. And I put a drop of gasoline in it, or a drop of ink in it, or a drop of arsenic in it, or a drop of anything else, it is no longer simple. It's become compound. It's become complex. It has become corrupted. Being corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus is seen in adding something to Him, and we no longer have the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. You know, I think of the evolutionary theory, and notice I called it a theory. It is not founded on verifiable fact, but it has things becoming more complex and more compound. And what evolution says is, look how far we've come. But the truth regarding creation says, look how far we've fallen. Corruption is found in the introduction of the word and. Scriptures and our traditions. Scripture and our customs. Scripture and our creeds. Scripture and our constitutions. No, Scripture alone. The Bible alone. Not man's ideas, not man's thoughts and opinions. There's one source of truth. God's holy word. This is His revelation of Himself. Not Scriptures and, but Scriptures alone. Christ and your works. This is the message of the world. Christ and your decision. Christ and your acceptance of Him. Christ and your will. No, Christ alone. Men speak of grace. Grace and your works. Grace and your free will. Grace and your decision. Grace and... No, grace alone. The introduction of the word and in grace makes it corrupted, nothing more than a work. Grace alone. Faith and is a denial of faith. It's faith only. Faith alone. Looking to Christ alone. There's only one motive. God's glory alone. Not God's glory and. The and corrupts it. God's glory alone. Now, in verse 4 of this same passage of Scripture I just read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul warned us of another Jesus who was preached, another Spirit, and another Gospel. And when the simplicity of Christ is corrupted, that's what we have. Another Jesus. Not the Jesus of the Bible. Not the true Christ. But another Jesus. And we have another Spirit. Not the Holy Spirit, but another Spirit. An evil spirit. And we have another gospel. Not the true gospel that saves, but another gospel. That's what takes place when one is corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. Now let me read you a passage of Scripture from Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul said there is one body. One body, not two, not different denominations. There's one body. That's the church of the living God, all of God's elect, the church that Christ died for and gave Himself for. There's one body. And there's one Spirit. If God the Holy Spirit, who teaches all believers the same thing. You see, believers believe the same thing. If they believe different things, they've had different teachers. But every believer has one Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, and He teaches them the same thing. He gives them the same birth. They have the same nature. Born of the Spirit. The same nature. There's one Spirit. Even as you're called in one hope of your calling. There's one hope. There's not two. There's one. What's my hope? My hope is that Christ died for me. That's my hope. The reason that I believe that I'll stand before God accepted on Judgment Day is not because of the fact that I'm a preacher or because of some good work I perform or intend to do. It's not because I became religious. My only hope is that Christ died for me and put away my sins. Now, this religious world, I realize the message is that Christ died for everybody. He died for everybody and made salvation possible for everybody. I don't believe that for a second. The Bible doesn't teach it. There's no gospel in that message. If He can die for somebody and they wind up in hell, that's taken away my only hope. I have one hope. There's one hope. One Lord. The God of the Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ. The absolute sovereign of the universe. There's one Lord. There's one faith. Believers don't believe differently. It's called the faith of God's elect. In Titus 1:1, the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. There's one faith. There are not two. There's one faith. There's one baptism. Baptism by immersion of believers. One baptism. There are not different modes of baptism. You know, the word baptize means to immerse. To immerse. To submerge. And to emerge. You go all the way under. You come all the way up. Why is this so important? Because of what it typifies. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one baptism. There's one God. Father of all. Not talking about all men without exception. Talking about the Father of all believers. Who is above all and through all and in you all. One. Now, I couldn't help but thinking of Paul when he was in Athens. And he beheld all the devotions of that city, all the religious idols, all the religious buildings, all the religious gatherings. And the scripture says his spirit was stirred up within him because he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. And he said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too religious." Too superstitious. Too religious. Where is the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus? Everything's so compound and complex. You can't get a definite answer to anything. Where is the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus? Now, here's the most important part of this message. What is meant by the simplicity, the singleness, the onlyness that is in Christ Jesus? What do you mean by that? What did Paul mean by that? Simple. Only. First of all, we have a very simple message. That means we have only one message. And it really is very simple. Very simple. You know, truth is always simple. When you hear the truth, you know it's the truth. You just know it. If it sounds complex and convoluted and you can't tell what's being said, it wasn't true. Truth is always simple. And we have a very simple message. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Nothing else is important. Nothing else even matters. All that matters is the preaching of the gospel, Christ and Him crucified. And Paul said, "I determined not to know anything else. I don't care what your view on politics are. Let's set that stuff aside. There's only one message, Christ Jesus and Him crucified. Who He is and what He did. The person and work of Christ. Who is He? He's God. He's man. He's God's Christ, God's anointed. He's the prophet. He's the priest. He's the king. He's Jesus, Savior. He's the God man. That's who He is, incapable of failure. Because He's God, the creator of the universe. Who is He? He's the God-man. What did He do? He was crucified. Well, I know that, but what did He accomplish by that crucifixion? When He said, "It is finished," the salvation of everybody He died for was finished. We have one message, a very simple message. And Paul put it that way. "I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." There was one time a young preacher, after he had finished his message, he felt very impressed with the message, and he was walking back home. This was in last century England. He was walking with an old pastor who had gone with him. And he said, "What did you think of my message?" And I suppose he expected, well, it was great, glorious. The man answered, "Well, it was a very poor message." And the fellow was shocked. He thought it was great. He felt good about it. He said, "Well, what was wrong with it? Was there error in it?" He said, "No." He said, "Were the illustrations poor?" He said, "No, they were good." He said, "Was the speech poor? Did I speak in a confused?" "No, your speech was excellent." He said, "Well, what was wrong with the message then?" And the old man looked at him and said, "You didn't preach Christ." And the fellow said, "Well, Christ wasn't in the text." Which betrayed a complete ignorance of the message of the Bible in the first place. But the old man looked at this young preacher and said, "There's a saying that every road leads to London. And every text leads to Christ. And the job of the preacher is to get to Christ. And if you don't see the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in a text, it's because you have no understanding of the text. All Scripture speaks of Him." We have a simple message. We have a very simple doctrine called in 2 John 9, the doctrine of Christ. Now, the Bible, no doubt, has many doctrines, all of which make up the one doctrine of Christ. And if you leave any of them out, you no longer have the doctrine of Christ. If you add something to them, you no longer have the one doctrine of Christ. But Christ is the sum and substance of all doctrine, of all teaching, of everything taught in the Scriptures. Here's an example. Election. The Bible teaches that God elected a people before time began. Those are the people Christ died for. Those are the people that Christ saved. But Ephesians 1:4 says, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. The emphasis of election is not some arbitrary choice on God's part. It's the fact that believers were chosen in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, election is a truth that glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. When we talk about redemption, being redeemed, having our sins paid for, well, we were redeemed by His blood. The Bible uses the word justification. What an important word this is. Being justified before God. Now, if you're justified, that does not mean it's just as if you've never sinned. It means you've never sinned. It means you stand before God without guilt. Now, how in the world can that be? Because Christ's righteousness, His perfect obedience, His guiltlessness, His perfection before the law of God becomes mine. It's imputed to me. God took my sin and placed it upon His Son. He punished His Son in my room and in my stead. But His Son was guilty. That's why He punished His Son. My sin became His. He became guilty. His righteousness is mine. I am now just before God. If we're called, we're the called of Christ Jesus. And the called see Christ as the power of God and Christ as the wisdom of God. If we're sanctified, we're sanctified in Him. As a matter of fact, He is our sanctification. Of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption. We're accepted, and that acceptance is in the Beloved. I don't know of anything that, for lack of a better word, aggravates me any more than hearing people say, won't you accept Jesus? That's degrading to Him. The issue is not, will you accept Jesus? The issue is, will He accept you? Ephesians 1:6 says, He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. I think of the second coming and all the different doctrines regarding the second coming of Christ. Well, here's the emphasis, not when, but who's coming. Who's coming? All Christian doctrine, Christ is all. Now, I have a simple ground of forgiveness. There's one reason God forgives me. I have the forgiveness of sins. Oh, how important that is. And there's one reason God forgives me. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says, be ye kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I have a simple reason for not being condemned. When I stand before God in judgment, I won't be condemned, and here's why. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. That's the only answer I need. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me. Nothing else is needed. I have a simple reason for all that God gives me. Now, every blessing I have, the blessings of salvation, material blessing, blessings that He gives me in withholding something from me that would prove to my ruin, all the spiritual blessings we have in Christ Jesus, there's a simple reason why God gives me these blessings. It says, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? You see, there's nothing to prevent Him from freely giving me all things, because He's already given me everything and giving me His Son. He delivered Him up for us all. Somebody says, does this all mean without exception? No. Paul said, if God be for us, who can be against us in the previous verse? That's talking about God's elect, those He foreknew, those He predestinated, those He called, those He justified, those He glorified. Nothing could withhold, nothing can prevent God from giving them all spiritual blessings. I have a simple cause of salvation. By grace are you saved. Not grace and anything. The free grace of God in Christ Jesus, saving grace. I have a simple ground of assurance. Now, I have assurance that I'm saved. I have assurance that God's done something for me. Well, what's your ground of it? What, you give me a scriptural reason. Well, the Scripture says He came into the world to save sinners. That's what the Scripture says. 1 Timothy 1:15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul said, of whom I am chief. Well, I'm a sinner. I am that. Therefore, I can conclude that He came to save me. And beloved, if He came to save me, that means He saved me. He didn't come to attempt to save me. He saved me, and I'm resting in Him. I have a simple faith. I look to Christ only. Not Christ and anything else. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I have a simple motive for service. His glory. I have a simple motive for obedience, His glory. Not to be saved, not to earn His favor, His glory. I have a simple desire. I've got one desire, and here it is. Same thing Paul had when he said, oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faithfulness of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. When God comes looking for me, I want to simply be found in the Lord Jesus Christ so that all God sees is Christ. I have a simple objective. I want to see His face and awaken His likeness, just like David said in Psalm 17:15. Now, one time, somebody asked a preacher, if all I have is Christ, is that enough for me to be saved? And the preacher answered, it is if He's all you got. Now, if He's all you got, yes, you have all you need. Oh, where is the simplicity that's in Christ? It's where it's always been.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.